Well, today is World Mission Sunday, and I can tell you that when many people hear that and hear about missions, your mind can be flooded with all sorts of images and fears. I was there too at one time. When the sermon came to talking about missions, my mind would immediately shut down because all I could see was people traipsing through some jungle somewhere trying to escape poisonous darts. Admit it, that's gone through your mind sometimes too, right? My first clarity to what missions was about came in 1995 at Redeemer in Jacksonville when I started doing the church newsletter. I would get article after article from people who were doing mission work, but the work that they were doing was in Jacksonville. I thought you had to go overseas to be in missions. Then I wrote about the group, including the rector, then Father Neil LaBar, now our bishop, who went with a group of folks that I knew from church to something called New Wineskins in Ridgecrest, North Carolina. It was a week-long event. And I wouldn't really find out what that was all about until 2003, when in seminary we all traveled down. They closed the school, and we all traveled down from Ambridge, Pennsylvania, for a 10-hour trip to Ridgecrest, North Carolina. It was amazing. The whole seminary attended, even our kids, Marilyn, John Eric, Teresa Jean, and myself. And we were surrounded by Anglicans from around the world that were there to share the witness of God working through them, sharing the gospel around the world. We've been very excited about the marvelous ministry that New Wineskins Missionary Network does. That when I was asked to serve on the board of directors, after praying about it, I gladly accepted. And I soon found myself serving 2 3-year terms as president of the board of trustees. I want to share with you some scripture this morning that has touched my heart. It's the words of Isaiah chapter 12, verses 4 through 5. God said through Isaiah, "In that day you will say, 'Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world.'" I soon realized that the mission field was wide and even included my backyard. I learned that anywhere we tell people about what Jesus Christ has done for us in our life, we are sharing the gospel and being, believe it or not, a missionary. Our world started to expand through speaking to, learning from, and praying for people who made it their life's work to tell others about Jesus and share his love in word and action. I want to share with you about some very special people who Marilyn and I have had the extraordinary fortune to have met, got to know, and heard their stories. Now, there are so very many that I couldn't possibly share, and I'll probably forget a whole bunch of them. But God has put them in our path. Our dear friends from Florida, the Reverend Canon Pete Waite and his wife, the Dr. Shirlene Waite, they're very close friends who for years have gone continuously to China on the behalf of Anglican Frontier Missions, bringing Bibles where none were allowed. Our friend Susan Morris from Redeemer, she went to Uganda. Who would want to go to Uganda? Well, you'd be surprised. She went not only several times, but she lived there for a couple of years at Uganda University, Anglican Uganda University. And my dear friend, Archbishop Henry Orambi, who came to Ambridge, and I had the chance to spend some time with him at Trinity Seminary, and he called me John of Florida. Missionaries have a sense of humor. Then there's Father Mark and Suzanne Jacobson. Went to seminary with them too, but I had no idea what their ulterior motive was. I thought he was just going to become a priest. Their final destination has been and continues to be Kabul, the Philippines. And there they are leading a team of people who are translating the Bible into the native language. Yeah, that's being a missionary. Canon Michael and Rosemary Green, renowned author and missionary, came to Trinity from England, where he had been a pastor and a missionary, and he's written numerous books. He came to teach us and lead us by example for our annual mission week. We ended up holding dinners at people's homes and inviting people that people knew and would like to share with. It's an amazing week. Bishop Henry Scriven, who was at the time assisting bishop to Bishop Robert Duncan of the Diocese of Pittsburgh, and of course was the first Archbishop of the Anglican Church in North America. And now, after several decades of working in the Americas and in Spain, Henry came to the Church Mission Society in 2009 to coordinate the integration of the South American Mission Society, known as SAMS, with the Church Mission Society. What an amazing man. The privilege of not only knowing him, but working with him through New Wineskins. And then there's our dear friend Teresa Newell. She not only worked at Trinity, but she founded a ministry called Shoresh Ministries. Now in Hebrew, Shoresh means root. Part of the job of Shoresh was to expose you and me to our Jewish roots. Romans 11:17, Paul says that we have been grafted into the root of Jesse. And then so we are sons and daughters of Abraham. She was the founder of Shoresh, and she passed the baton to somebody named Marcia Labar. Yeah, the bishop's wife. And we got to know Shoresh, and that was why in 1999, Marilyn and John and Teresa and I went to Israel for the very first time. And we started to learn more about the Jewish people. I've tried to share some with you. We have our Seder dinner on Maundy Thursday. It's nice to understand the culture that Jesus lived in. And then there's my good friend, the canon Daryl Fenton. Went to seminary with him, too. This was quite a class, you've got to admit. He is the director of CMJ USA, the Church's Ministry Among Jewish People, of which Shoresh USA falls under. He's an awesome guy, and he was the right hand to Bishop Duncan for many years. My first New Testament professor, Grant Lamarcon, a Canadian from Montreal. This man could stand up and read the Greek Bible to you like he was speaking French or talking about the Montreal Canadiens, his favorite hockey team. Well, he left Trinity, and he is now the bishop of the Cone of Africa. Amazing man. And his wife, Wendy, is a physician, doctor. And they are doing some really amazing things in this diocese. He would surprise me from time to time as they were going from Pittsburgh up to Montreal, and they would travel through Buffalo. And I'd be there ready to celebrate the Eucharist at St. Bartholomew's, and I'd look out, and there was Grant and Wendy. And what a treat it was that they would come just to see us. And so from time to time, we invited them to show and share with us part of what they're doing. At New Wineskins Missionary Conference in 2003, the first one that Marilyn and I attended, I had the opportunity to listen to one of the most amazing and courageous women that I have ever met. Her name is Baroness Caroline Cox. And during lunch, we were sitting there just having our cafeteria trays at Ridgecrest, and along comes Baroness Cox, and she asks us if anyone is sitting. And of course, we invited her. What an amazing time, after not just hearing what she has done in trying to help rescue people from the entrapment in Uganda and other places in the Sudan, she had just the most delightful heart. And we were blown away when she handed me her card and she said, next time you're in England, please come, we'll have lunch at the House of Lords. Just really no pretenses. What a delightful lady. She had that same character with whoever she spoke with. She founded the Heart Humanitarian Relief Trust. And I made sure that she was invited back to tell the story of what she was doing. And a lot of times how she escaped from the onslaught of the military and the oppressors. Our Wednesday night crew had the opportunity to learn last year about something called the Crescent Project. And a wonderful man, the Reverend Dr. Fuad Masri, ministry to Muslims. How in the world do you understand what's in their thought process, what they think about Christians? Well, those who were there on Wednesday nights got a chance to hear and see some of the Muslims who became Christians and how it affected their lives. Amazing stuff. Let me tell you very quickly about a man, a Marine, who came to seminary, a cancer survivor. He had most of his tongue removed. And it was very difficult to listen and understand what Ron McKeon was saying. And sometimes his wife Debbie had to explain to us. But God did some wonderful things with him. And he, after ordination, suddenly his voice became more rich, more clear. He didn't have any more of a tongue, but we had better ears that God gave to people who were hearing what he and Debbie were doing. He is now serving in Recife, Brazil, with SAMS, Society of Anglican Missionaries and Senders, here in the United States. Did you know that Marilyn and Teresa served as missionaries? They went for almost 2 weeks to the Dominican Republic and went and brought food and shoes and things. Marilyn met this young boy in a town and he shared with her that he had cardboard shoes. And God put it upon her heart and came back to St. Bart's. And we got this big banana crate and people just brought new sneakers, all different sizes. We had to empty it twice. And so when SCORE, the group that was they went with through the church, went down the next time, they filled up duffel bags filled with the shoes with the promise that they were going to take those shoes back to that boy and the village. And they did. An amazing experience. Teresa, when she was about 3 years old, surprised us and we asked her, you know, you always ask little kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? Teresa's answer floored us. She said she wanted to be a missionary. And I was like, where'd you get that from? Well, Teresa, 4 years ago, was a part of YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And she went to school, to discipleship class, in Jacksonville Beach, Florida, from Buffalo. And then, a week after she was married, he went back to Germany, where he was serving. Andrew was serving there. And she went with YWAM, of all places, Turkey, for 8 weeks. I wouldn't go to Turkey, but she did. And she went into coffee houses and other places. Of course, you never go alone. You always go in a group. And she brought the gospel of Christ to Muslims. I'm not putting pressure on it. I'm just trying to tell you what I've witnessed, and to share that with you, that I've seen these people do these things in answer to what Jesus said that we heard from this pulpit just 2 weeks ago. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp or put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand. And it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Having a heart for missions doesn't necessarily mean traveling somewhere exotic and living under mosquito nets. Having a heart for missions can mean giving to an organization, Or even more importantly, it can mean committing to pray for missionaries and missionary organizations. You see, being a missionary could even be doing a contemporary Christian oldies show to get the word out to people who might not hear it. Or being the chaplain of the high school baseball teams. Or whatever it is that you do. Maybe a volunteer at the hospital and somebody comes in and needs to see a smiling face. Or a daughter who's a nurse at the hospital and brings the light of Christ into each and every room that she goes into. Just a few years ago, we had as our guest right here in this pulpit, in this church, the now retired director of New Wineskins Missionary Network. You might remember her. My good friend Sharon Steinmiller. She preached and then gave us a workshop with a little bit of Chinese inside too, during lunch, sharing the gospel and what's going on in the world today. Now, as the former president of the Board of Trustees, I keep connected and watch closely, praying for the many hands that are working, not only in foreign lands, but here at home as well. There's a new director, and her name is Jenny Noyes, whom I've worked with in the early days of the ACNA, the Anglican Church in North America, when it used to be known as the Anglican Communion Network. You might remember that. It's several years back. With her being the coordinator for communications and evangelism. I'm just going to ask you a favor to keep them in prayer. Keep New Wineskins Missionary Network in your prayers when you have the opportunity, for they work closely with people who go where we cannot go. In today's Holy Gospel, Jesus said these words, "Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Don't even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." I want to close today's message with some words that have been in our prayer books for many, many, many years. The Collect for Missions from Daily Morning Prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross, that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your Holy Spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you, for the honor of your name. Amen.